Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Stirkers and Radar Uncut, our monthly podcast brought to you by Pip.
And Radar downstairs here in Australia, play your best.
We are ready for episode 7, the final episode of season 1, everybody. But don't worry, we'll be back in the spring around the Masters time for season 2. But it's been brilliant talking to you over the past few months and bringing you the latest golfing news and Radar's rants and all the crazy goings on from the world of golf. And Radar, you've been spending Christmas in Sydney, Christmas and New Year in Sydney, back home in Australia. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Back down here in Australia, it's very different down here this time round. It's hot and I haven't been back here for 2 years, but it's been fun seeing family and friends, playing a little bit of golf, getting out of the British winter. But it's not long till I go back up there to the Middle East with three tournaments I've got to do there, week off back in London, then over there to Florida. So it's gone very swiftly, but I'm recharged and ready to get back on the mic.
Nice. You're looking very tanned. You're looking very well. You've obviously been enjoying Australian sunshine.
Yeah, it's hot, yeah. I go to the beach every day. I walk along the beach and it's really cool. But the golf, I mean, it's just seriously crap. It's bad. My game, I mean, it's just, I tried to hit a fade, I hit a draw. And I putt badly. It's not a good combination, listeners, is it? It's not good. But
you've been playing a bit of golf?
Yeah, I played today, you know, very close to where I live. I'm playing a very famous course tomorrow, the Australian. Next week, I'm playing the Lakes. And I play a lot with all of my mates. They're all, that's how I catch up with people I haven't seen for a long time. We just get out on the golf course and it doesn't matter where we hit it. We hit it in the water and we all laugh. So it's, I've been playing a bit of golf and getting some sunshine. It's really, it's been fun.
I was a bit worried actually. So it's, we're recording this, it's 10:30 in the morning on beginning of January, so it's 9:30 for you. And I thought, you know, I said to our producer Pete, I was like, what, will he be okay at 9:30 at night? You know, he might have been playing golf, been in the sunshine, might have had a couple of electric lemonades. Will he be okay? But you're quite coherent.
No, I'm very much if I have a cold beer here, it's four o'clock in the afternoon, and I come home for dinner, it's at 6, and I usually go to bed about this time, you know, not long, and 10 o'clock, get up early, you go for a walk along the beach. You know what, when you've got sunshine like we possess in Australia, you don't really want to waste a day.
No.
It's one of those. You don't want to get up and feel a bit dry and a bit hung, so you're like, so you take it easy and just cherish every day. You know what it's like, Sarah, when you got blue sky and stuff, you don't want to be lying inside and, you know, not feeling so hot. So you want to go out and play golf and have a swim. And, you know, I go down to the beach. I love to walk along the beach for many reasons, really.
I'm totally jealous. I mean, the weather here, as you will know, has been utterly rubbish. Freezing, wet, miserable. To hear your tales of golf, walking on the beach, few beers, I feel very jealous.
Yeah, but I don't mind the English winter, the British winter, the UK, when it's like that. You know, everywhere in the world has its own ambiance. And, you know, your summers are great. And that's where I spend most of my time. And I'm back there in a few weeks. And I don't mind it. I honestly don't. You know, I'm very, very lucky. And you are as well. We are very, very lucky. And those of you that are, to be able to travel the world and see the different seasons. I'm a big fan. I wouldn't like to live in the sunshine as I grew up here in Australia all the time under blue skies and it being hot. I think I'd find that quite boring.
Yeah, me too. I get so bored of the sun every day, Radar.
No, I would. I would. I wouldn't like sweaty air conditioning going all the time. I'm sure you can hear it in the background there. It's a constant drone. But there it is.
And how are the spiders? I love Australia, but I couldn't live there because of the spiders.
No spiders. I don't see any spiders where I'm in Sydney. You know, snakes scared them all away. worry about spiders. They won't hurt you anyway. They won't hurt you.
Anything bigger than a money spider, I freak. So, yeah, I love your
company. We have things down here called trapdoors. Trapdoor spiders, and they're as big as your hand, and they've got these big hairy legs, and a bit like Mac's wife, but but they won't hurt you. They won't hurt you. Sometimes they can crawl all over your face.
Trapdoors.
They won't hurt you. They won't hurt you.
You said they're massive and hairy, and
they are. They are, but so are a lot of things.
That's funny.
Baby coming soon, Sarah.
Baby.
Barbara.
Radar, it's gone so quickly. I remember we've talked about this on the pod over the last few months. So, yeah, he's going to be arriving in about a week's time.
Fantastic.
So excited, but so nervous as well.
We're all so much looking forward to it. Do you think the boss at Sky will let you bring Bubba on television and, you know, you sort of give it a little... baby, while you're presenting.
Do you think? I hope so.
I don't know. He'd probably get on the phone once he hears this, and I'll be in all sorts of bother. That wouldn't be bad, would it?
No.
Everyone, you know, on the pod, and everyone's knows so much about this baby. It's a famous baby before it's like Charlie Woods before it's been born.
I know, and I feel we've talked about names and stuff like that. And obviously, when we come back for season two, you know, I'll announce it on Instagram anyway. But his name it's crazy. But hopefully, he'll make a little TV appearance at some point when I'm back on the screens. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's very exciting, very exciting. My life's going to change. So yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, thank you, buddy. And I'm looking forward for you to meet him as well. So, yeah it'll be amazing. And you talk about Charlie Woods. We've got a special guest coming up shortly. We're going to look ahead kind of to 2022, right? A lot to look forward to. I want to get your take on a few things. But just coming back to, you mentioned Charlie Woods and obviously seeing all the social media, I guess, craziness around Tiger's return. How cool was that just at the end of last year, watching that PNC Championship and watching Tiger and his boy performing and seeing the TV ratings for that event? It was just phenomenal to watch, wasn't it?
It certainly was. You know what? I loved watching Tiger and his lad, Charlie, at play, but I was more enthralled by the way Charlie swung the golf club compared to the year before. And I was blown away. I truly was blown away. If he can maintain those lines and that golf swing as he evolves with strength, it's going to be quite amazing. I mean, what's going to hold him back? I don't know. Fame? I don't know. But I think Tiger has got all... Tiger was famous from when he was two. So if you've got someone, you want someone to have someone to teach you, your dad, I mean, he's going to know all about it. And I'm sure away from that stage on television of that father and son event, I'm sure he's wrapped in cotton wool and he's nurtured through it all. Let's hope so. I'm sure Tiger, knowing Tiger as we do, he will be. But I was just blown away at that move he has. It's just mind-blowing how good that was.
And the mannerisms for me, I mean, I know there were a few sort of montages put together. I just love that. The nose wipe, the little walk, the club twirl, the picking up of the tee. It was just brilliant to see. It's just like mini me. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was just sensational. Tear jerking, really.
It was.
Just something that, yeah. And Tiger's not going away. And he looks as though he's on the mend and the great thing is it's his right foot, so the pressure when he hits it goes onto the left. So that's one good thing. If he was going to break, you don't want to break any bone in your body, but if you're going to break something as a golfer on your leg, you want it on that right side. So that's a good thing for Tiger. But his son, gee whiz, if Tiger's teaching him, which I imagine he is. He's doing one heck of a job.
Amazing, isn't it? And for Tiger, I mean, it was different. He was in a car. He said, look, I wanted to come back, play with my boy. Kind of, you know, blew Justin Thomas away, the fact that he came back and, what, 9-10 months after that car crash, talked about, you know, nearly needing his leg amputated. When do you think we're going to see Tiger again? Do you think Masters? Do you think the Open? What's your hunch?
I'm not thinking the Masters. I hope I'm wrong. I think the Augusta's too hilly. Up and down those dales, it's going to be too difficult, especially with the hangy lies around there. I think that'd be too much of a strain and they'd be coming back too early. I honestly think the Open is a standout bet if you wanted to bet on when he's coming back. St Andrews, even though that's humps and hollows, but relatively flat piece of land. You're not walking up serious hills really at all. So that's the one that I'm sure he is eyeing up, which is going to be that 150th Open at St Andrews. But if he comes back before that, well and good. But I think it would be risky.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see that. Luke Rader, we're going to introduce this episode's guest, and then we're going to just spend a little bit of time looking ahead to the year ahead. 2022, I think you'll agree with me, set to be something special in the world of golf. So we're going to have a chat about that in a second. But right now, let's hear from this episode's special guest. It's a good one. Golf's favourite parody singer, Sam Harrop, who's been a bit of an internet sensation, well, last year in 2021. Sam, great to have you with us on Sturkers and Radar.
Hello, Sam.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on. It's an honour.
Well, we hope so. It's an honour to have you with us. Now, Sam, as I said, a bit of an internet sensation last year. We've messaged a few times on Instagram. I'm a massive fan of what you've been doing in the world of golf. But I kind of want to take us back. How did this all start? Because I know music's obviously a huge passion for you. You're a bit of a golf nerd. But how did all this come about?
Honestly, it was just something that I just got this idea in my head. So this is February 2020. I just got this idea in my head about doing a song about Tony Finau and the fact that he, you know, he kept coming up short, you know, when it looked like he should win. And I just got an idea in my head with the REO Speedwagon song. And I just thought, I know what, I'm going to make this into a song and I'll see if it's any good. And I'll just put it out on my Twitter and just see what people think of it, you know. I thought the kind of golf nerds might appreciate it to some degree, but it sort of surpassed expectations, really. I mean, I didn't expect it to go down as well as it did. So that was it, really. I just got this weird idea of blending my two sort of passions of music and golf and seeing whether it was well received or not. And it just, yeah, that started the whole thing, really. And I started doing more after that and just kept doing them every, you know, one a month or something ever since.
Sam, let me ask you a question. Do you have to ask them or is it all just bollocks to it? I'm doing it.
No, I just do my own thing. I don't ask anyone. And then,
good lad. So do I.
An old boss of mine used to say, ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
There you go.
The songs are fantastic, but sometimes, like the Tony Finau, and you're gonna play a song for us shortly, it can get a bit close to the mark. The reaction from the players has been amazing, Sam. Tell us a bit about that, who's kind of been in touch and things like that. But
yeah,
sometimes you think, oh God, am I okay doing that? Am I gonna get a backlash from writing this lyric?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, sometimes I do, you know, I'll tell you, after I did the Tony Finau one, and when it went down well, I thought, I've got to do another song, right? And I thought, well, who am I gonna do one? And I had this idea about doing a song about Matt Kuchar. And then when I finished writing it, I was like, you know, this is just too much of a character assassination. You know, it's going to go down badly. I mean, some people would probably laugh at it, but it was a bit too close to the bone. So I ditched that one.
Was it about money?
Well, there were all sorts of things in there, but yeah, that was one of them.
What, not paying his daddy?
Yeah, I mean that was central to the piece. But yeah, but honestly, I kind of, whenever I, you know, finish writing one, I do look at it and I think, okay, how are these lines going to go down? Is that going to be well received? Is that too close to the bone? There is a kind of fine balance. And I think to date, I think I've got the balance just about right with kind of taking a mick out of people, but not really going too, you know, too hard.
Right, no, I think we need to hear that. I think that Matt Kuchar one needs to be released this year, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember being at... Riviera a couple of years ago for the Genesis, just when that was all happening with Kuchar, and he marked his ball down there and someone put his ball and they got him to move his coin. And I said, well, I said, you've got to watch your little coin and your ball marker when Matt Kuchar around. He might nick it. But, you know, Matt's a good guy, and he'll find the funny side of it. It was all worked out in the end, you know. We're only speaking the truth, big fella.
Yeah, this is true. But I think it was more the fact that I'd done one that was kind of relatively positive. It was sort of basically saying, look, I'm a huge Tony Finau fan, but you know what, you're struggling to win. That was kind of the crux of it. And then going from that to one that's basically saying, you're a penny pincher, you know, you're a real tight ass. You know, I thought that might be too much too soon. But yeah.
Well, now you've established yourself a bit, Sam, and you know, we've had you on the podcast. You've talked about it. We'll look forward to the release of that one later this year, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right.
What about some of the reaction from the players, though? Because Finau responded. I know Brooks Koepka's been in touch. Tell us about the reaction you've had.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's always great when the players themselves get involved and they either, you know, they comment on it or they, you know, retweet it or whatever. That makes such a difference because obviously it gets a lot more eyeballs on it as soon as they engage with it themselves. So Tony Finau obviously did it the first time round and the second time round when I did the remix of that song. But then, yeah, Brooks Koepka, when I did the song that I'm going to play shortly, he retweeted it, he commented on it and stuff, which was great. Max Homer, when I did the song about him, he commented on it. Harry Hicks recently, he commented on his song, and it's all really positive stuff. They seem to enjoy it. There's been some people who haven't engaged with the song I've done about them. Lucas Glover never commented on his one. Nodded Rory Sabatini, but you know, you win some, you lose some, but most of the time the players sort of like it and comment and stuff, which is good.
We'll have to have a word with Rory Sabatini if he didn't get in touch. That's terrible from him. We'll have to have a word.
Was there something to do with him sort of changing nationalities?
Yeah, that was it. That was part of it, definitely. Yeah.
I'm a genius.
Which has been your favourite, Sam? You know, it's very, very clever, as I said, what you do, and it's been brilliant listening to them. What's your particular favourite? Which one?
Well, I mean, the one that's probably, apart from the Tony Finau one, which obviously kicked the whole thing off, aside from that, probably Phil Mickelson one is closest to my heart because he was sort of always my favourite player growing up as a sort of fellow lefty, and, you know, he's obviously a great player to watch. So, I did that one quite early on, but I held on to it because it was about the whole US Open thing. And that was the one that was delayed until September last year, 2020. So that one I really enjoyed doing. And I do like that one. It's either that or the Victor Dubuisson one, which was more of a one that came together sort of more unexpectedly. I just got an idea and it just really worked, you know. So one of those two, I'd probably say.
Now, we also want to set you a little challenge, and I've talked to you about this previously when we were trying to get you on the pod, but I think a song about Radar is just waiting to happen. Sam, I want to set you the challenge. We're going to get you on for season two of Sturkers and Radar, and I think, and we've talked about a couple, you know, Radar's a legend in sports broadcasting, obviously what he does with Sky, and he's got his little chipper one-liners, you know, that we...
Yeah, legend in my own lunchtime, Sam.
Do you think, Sam, you can create a bit of magic and a song about Radar that will go viral on social media? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I can't promise the viral bit, but I can... I'm sure I can come up with something. For a character like Radar, you know, there's plenty of content there, isn't there?
There is. There's a few good lines, aren't there, you can weave
in. Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah.
With the Australian accent.
Oh, God. No, I only sing with a sort of... I only ever sing with a sort of vaguely slightly American English accent.
You do it very well.
I'm looking forward to this. So what do you reckon? We'll give you a couple of months and then back with us maybe sort of spring, summer, we'll get you back on.
All right, challenge accepted.
Perfect. What about, before we get you to play the song, just the year ahead, Sam, tell us about, because you did some work for the USGA obviously in 2021. As I said, the social media stuff's been great for you. You've produced a lot of content. What's the plan for the year ahead? What are the goals?
Well, so the first thing, and God, I just pray that this happens and that I don't, you know, get COVID or anything like that, but I'm supposed to be going to Orlando later this month for the PGA show, and doing some songs out there, which will be great. So that'll be my first kind of my first trip abroad doing anything, you know, golf song related. So that's a big one, if it happens, which hopefully it will. And then potentially something again for the US Open. I'm chatting to the USGA about you know, doing something again for them. Again, hopefully this time it might be, you know, on site rather than virtually. And other than that, I'm just kind of, you know, I've always got a few conversations going, and there's opportunities out there, just, you know, which will hopefully come my way. I'm just at the moment, just I see what kind of falls on my lap, really. I'll still be doing the same stuff, putting out the old song here or there, and then if anything bigger and better comes from it, then great, it's a bonus.
Fantastic. Well, look, Red, I think it's time to hear Sam in action again. And for our listeners who well, obviously many will be big fans, but for some who haven't heard Sam, this is going to be a treat. So, Sam, we're going to get you to play the Brooks Bryson song for us, obviously one of the big stories in 2021. You've updated it slightly, I understand, but we're going to let you do your thing and entertain our listeners for the next few minutes. Is that all right?
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Pettiness has often been a friend of mine. You play right into my hands. Just the thought of you has got me rolling my eyes. Don't make me mention the ends. How we ended up here is a mystery. It started with you dissing my abs. One of us is going down in history. The other belongs in a lab. I don't care who you are, where you're from, those workout fits. It's clear that you love me, who you are, where you're from. So bring on the tweets. The pip's gonna love me. Don't get sad about the match, for I'll take it on the chin. Was 4-3 a little unkind? Just remember what's important, and that's major wins. And you're lagging 3 behind. I don't care who you are, where you're from. You nearly quit. Was that 'cause you love me? Who you are, where you're from. You leaked that vid, admitted you love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Fantastic, because where I come from here in Australia, they don't know that original song anyway.
No, they're not. Yeah, it was big. It was big over here, wasn't it, Sarah?
We love it. So I know Brooks. Obviously, Brooks has been in touch. Did Bryce ever get in touch?
No, there was nothing. There was nothing from Bryson, unfortunately. But then I suppose it's kind of sung from the standpoint of Brooks, so it might be perceived to be. It might be perceived to be a pro Brooks song, and it's not. Honestly, it's like I'm completely impartial when it comes to that whole feud. But yeah, it's sung as if I am Brooks, if you like.
Yeah. Very good.
You will meet Bryson and you'll like him. Trust me, he'll be nice. He's a nice man.
I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet all of them, really, you know, to
you
sort
will.
Of find out more
you
about
will.
Their characters. But yeah.
And there must be a Tiger one on the horizon as well, Sam, surely?
Well, you know what? People ask me about this all the time, Sarah, and it's a really tricky one because he's such an icon of the game, right? And everyone loves him, and he's obviously, he moves the needle like no one else. It's a tricky one because I feel like if I don't get it right, then it could go down like a lead balloon, you know? It's just such a big ask to do a song about such a...
Yeah.
Iconic player. Do you know what I mean?
No. Tiger, trust me. He's all right too. He's good. I mean, he will be just fine. Go on, get in there, Tiger. You don't care, do you? Go on, you don't care, Tigers.
It's more his fans that I'm worried about. You know, everyone loves him so much that, you know, if I don't get it right, I worry about the reaction that it might get. You know, I've been lucky that the reaction to most of my videos have been really positive, you know, and I've got the line right. But with Tiger, you kind of feel like, there's a few areas where you could poke fun at him, but are they, you know, it might be easy to go below the belt, you know, and I don't want to do that with him. No. I don't know.
You don't really want a call from his lawyer either, do you?
Well, exactly that. Yeah, exactly that, Sarah.
I'm not sure you'd win that back exam.
Well, no, probably not, no.
Are there any good lawyers down there in Bournemouth?
I might need to find one at this rate.
Listen, Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for playing live for us on our pod as well. Really good to hear your thoughts and aspirations. As I said, we're big fans. Looking forward to watching and listening for the year ahead. Really appreciate you coming on. And we'll get you back on in the summer. You've got some material to work on regarding a certain quirky Australian who...
Yes, Sam. Go easy, son. Now, get stuck into me. Everyone else does, Sam.
All right, I'll send Sarah some messages. I'll get some inside jokes sure, as well that I can get in there. You know, as much
love your work, mate. Love your work.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. See you soon. Wishing you best for the year ahead.
You guys too. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Sam has been a superstar this year last year on social media. Loved what he's done and Radar. I loved having him on the pod. And yeah, I can't wait for the Radar song.
What a wonderful man. I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but hopefully he doesn't go easy on me. A very talented man, and he's a welcome addition to our golfing family.
He really is. So, Radar, we had a little bit of a chat. We talked a bit about Charlie and Tiger at the top of the pod. The year ahead, though, do you not agree that 2022, it could be really something special? Tell me a couple of things that you're looking forward to the most. What kind of caught your eye last year? And what's going to be standout for you, do you think, in the year ahead?
I think where our game is phenomenal. I mean, especially on the PGA Tour. The two tours getting together, see how the Scottish Open goes, Genesis Scottish Open goes on the PGA Tour. And to see how the European Tour players perform on the PGA Tour is going to be sensational. All the majors this year is going to be very, very special. I can't wait to see how Morikawa goes in the majors, Rory in the Masters. I can quickly go through what I think. I think Rory's going to win the Masters. I just hope he will win the Masters because that'll complete the Grand Slam. I think Morikawa, the PGA Championship, I think he'll win the second PGA Championship. I got Morikawa winning two majors in a row. I've got him winning the US Open as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've got Bryson winning at St. Andrews. I think Bryson has a chance with no wind at St. Andrews of breaking 60. I think maybe this year at St. Andrews someone will be the first time. I don't think, Brandon Grace's record of 63 or 62, whatever it was, at Troon. Was it Troon? No, it was at Turnberry. It was where it was Turnberry, wasn't it? No, it was Birkdale.
Birkdale. Oh my God. Yeah.
It was Birkdale. And that's where Jordan Spieth won. So I just don't think that. I think, look, if the wind blows at St. Andrews, it'll defend itself. But if we have a day where there's no wind or a few days where there is no wind, I don't think the old course has any defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could break, especially Bryson, could break 60.
Wow.
The R&A must be listening to this and going, oh, geez, I hope you're wrong. I'm sure they are. But
you don't know. And like you said, you could get a really benign day, no wind. Absolutely. That's kind of the real defence, isn't it, the old course? And how will it play? So just go back then. So you got Rory for the Masters, Morikawa for the PGA US Open, and Bryson for the Open Championship.
Good. Yeah, that's what I've got.
Yeah. I'm with you for Rory on the Masters, definitely. I think because it's the pressure, isn't it? The expectation. And he's talked so much about that, hasn't he, Radar? And he had so much for him to be excited about, some of the form towards the end of last season. And he's going to do it, isn't he, at some point? And it's like every year it's kind of what, you know, we hope the expectation's there. We team up heading into the Masters. But I'm with you. I think, and I really hope this year could be his year. And why not?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I think we say it every year, but I just feel as though it's a great chance this year. He's in a good space. He's playing well. Okay, came undone at the DP World there at the last day, but yeah, that happens to any player. If it was Morikawa, no one would say anything. But it's Rory, and he's won four majors. But yeah, I just hope that he gets this Grand Slam thing out of the way quick, and I hope it happens at the Masters. But I just hope he doesn't build. There's going to be build. By the time we get to the Players' Championship, they'll already be talking about the Masters. And I just hope he's learnt so much just to dismiss it all and just wait till he gets to the Masters and then start to think about it, because his game is taking care of itself right now. And the other thing that's great to see with Rory and Morikawa is they are both playing in Abu Dhabi and the Dubai Desert Classic. I think Rory is a little peed off that Morikawa took the chocolates last year. He took the whole lot. You know, the race to Dubai. And I think now Rory's coming to play a little more. So he's in a better position to take all the chocolates at the end, like Morikawa did. Because Rory has owned the race to Dubai, really. And that golf course, the Earth course there. And I think he's going, right, I'm starting here. That's the way it is. I don't usually play that great at Torrey Pines, at the Farmers, and I'm gonna start there. I love his decision. I think it's a great decision.
Agree, and we saw how much, you know, it stung, didn't it? Losing the DP World, we saw the ripped shirt. It hurt. It stung, and I like seeing Rory when he's angry. When we see that passion, because I think it kickstarts something in him, and I think that kind of anger and passion can help him. And I think, you know, we've seen that. So absolutely. Reda, I've got big plans, I think, for Victor Hovland this year, 2022. He had a great end to last year with the Hero World Challenge. I think he's going to have a standout year. He's a flusher, great ball strike. He's worked super hard on his chipping, great demeanour. Do you agree? Will he have a big year?
Yeah, absolutely. I've picked the four majors there, and I left Victor out. No one would be surprised if he won a major. He's going to have a wonderful career, not just this year, 2022, every single year. He's dedicated to the cause of winning championships. He's a young man. You know, the Wolf, Morikawa and Victor, they are the big three of the young boys, of the pups. Right now, Morikawa is he's sort of striding out in front of both Wolf and Victor. So, you know, I think Morikawa is the best right now. And then you've got Victor and then Wolf behind. I don't know what's going on with Wolf, to be perfectly honest, but yeah, Victor can win any championship and will. And he's a global player. He comes and plays the PGA. He comes and plays the DP World. He wants to play all around the world, and he deserves everything he gets. He's a proper talent, just a great player.
He is. And then, you know, you've got John Rahm, you've got Dustin Johnson, you've got Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, we haven't even mentioned. We are so spoilt, really, at the top of the men's game, aren't we, in terms of talent, and to see how that will unfold over the next 12 months. I just think it's mouthwatering prospect.
I think Koepka, who you've mentioned there, he's going to be a big force this year in the majors as well.
Yeah.
He's been injured, knee, all sorts of injuries. He's healthy right now. You saw how he took beating Bryson in that thing in Las Vegas. This doesn't mean anything, but he was so happy to drill and beat Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, he's feeling it again. He's in a good spot. And when he's a tough cookie, old Brooks Koepka. Yeah, you can't keep him away. And we know how he isn't scared to win majors. He's already got four of them, like Rory. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a massive year in golf.
It is. And just quickly as well, right, we've talked about it on the pod. You know, the changing landscape of the game, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that works out over the next 12 months. What more happens? We've seen the Greg Norman, the Saudi-backed Asian tour, the money that they're talking about players going to compete over there, those select events. Then we've got the Premier Golf League. How we're going to know more, aren't we, next few months in terms of how the landscape may or may not change.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Who's going to go? Who's not going to go? I imagine when it all comes out, especially the Saudi-backed lot, it'll be the older players. It'll be the guys that maybe think to themselves, you know what, I can still win a major, but look, I'm going to get the wheelbarrow out and I'm going to walk around the world over here in Asia and I'm going to fill it with money. I don't think there's any You know, I think we all know that. That's what's going to happen. No, there's nothing wrong with that. It depends what you stand for. And I've got nothing against that. But we just need to know. We've discussed it before. We just need to know. Our game deserves more than that we're all just sitting back and waiting. And that isn't the way forward. We've got to be all on the same page, which we've discussed before as well, Sarah, on Circus and Radar. And we need to know. Our game deserves it, and the people at home who will make this game great and make these guys rich, because without you people listening to our podcast and watching golf, golf wouldn't be golf for these professional players.
Definitely. Look, we're just about out of time, but before we go, I do want to, we've had some great guests for that, for our first season, and, you know, obviously Sam today, but it's been brilliant to have some names in the world of golf joining us on Circus and Radar. And quite often with our guests, we've done what we've called the quick nine. So ask them their favorite things in a few categories. So I thought, as our final episode of season one, we'd do the quick nine with you, Radar. So are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Couple of
how long do I get? The old brain doesn't work too swiftly.
Very quick answers. And yeah, let's see what you reckon. Okay, number one, best city for a night out.
Madrid.
Oh, nice. Swing you most admire on tour.
Oh, that's a bloody beauty. That the one I most admire, Charlie Woods.
There you go. Come on, big Charlie. Favorite event.
Irish Open.
Oh, good shout. I'm with you on that. Absolutely with you on that one. Favourite tipple. What's your drink of choice?
Rioja.
You and Boxy have sunk a few Riojas, haven't you, over the years, Radar?
Not many, Benny.
What's your favourite quote or mantra? Have you got one?
Favourite quote? Oh, my name's Wayne. How am I doing so far?
I've heard that chat up line in action. I've seen it. Your best win on tour?
Australian Open.
Course. Favourite club in your bag?
Driver.
Brought to you by Ping.
That's exactly right.
Lowest round. What's your lowest round?
61. Seve's home course. Bless him. He's not with us anymore, but he'll always be with us. But Seve, as I always told you, my friend, I've got the course record at your course, Pedrina.
Boom. Celebrity crush.
Charlize Theron.
Nice. And favourite male Sky Sports colleague.
I hate them all equally. You.
I said favourite male. Obviously, I'm your favourite female.
Male 5 Sky Sports colleague.
Oh. You don't have to choose.
Jeremy Derrick.
Brilliant. So, Radar, tell us, I love that. So, your schedule, so you're doing Middle East, then you're going to the States, yeah? That's how you kick off the year.
Yeah, three in the Middle East, a week in London, and then I've got the LA, the Honda, Arnold Palmer Players.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. It's been a great season on Circus and Radar. Here are some of our best bits from the last few months. One of my funniest moments was when I was at the Tour Champs.
What's that? What did you say? What was that, Sarah?
Very good. The Tour Champs, was it a couple of years ago? When, didn't he have, it was two, I... He picked the wrong iron, or you gave him. No, he picked it out of his bag. It was the wrong club, wasn't it? And then he gave you a look alive on TV. Just remind us about that, because that was brilliant.
Well, he had...
In the moment where you think, shit, I've messed up here.
I'm going to say it's hardly an important shot, is it, into the 18th in the Tour Championship, 15 million on the line.
Exactly.
The pin was back right. We had 228 yards to the flag, with the wind slightly in off the left. And I said to Paul, we got to land this 8 yards short of the flag. That's 220, hurting a little bit. It's a 230 shot. It's your perfect four iron, mate. And we even chatted about a guy dressed in red, just left the flag. And I said, so, right, got that window, yeah, chap in red. Nothing else to think about, Paul, perfect for us. So, of course, he grabs his club out the bag, I step back a bit, and he hits this shot absolutely perfectly. And I'm watching, thinking, well, this is going to go probably to 8 feet for eagle. And it one hops, nearly hits the guy in the red over the green. And obviously, Paul just sits there staring at me because he thinks I've got the wrong yardage. And I know I haven't because I know where I am relative to the water and been there enough. And he's literally speechless because he wants to tell me off so badly. And then he's got hold of the club really near the end by the actual club head. And he's looking at me going, how on earth have we done? And then he looks down and he's got the one that doesn't have a number on. So he's looking in the bag and the four's still in the bag. And he's like, oh, Johnny, I've just hit a 3-iron, mate. And of course, I'm sitting and, well, no wonder it's over the green. And we have this little moment together. But it was all his doing.
Isn't that bizarre? You was a good golfer yourself, Johnny. Isn't that bizarre as a professional golfer to look down and a moment of madness it must have been, not to know exactly, because, you know, we could play golf without numbers on our clubs.
The head on those two clubs are the same. He's just had one bent and they got rid of the number.
Oh, I see. So okay.
And a slightly hanging lie where he's hitting a fade in. I mean, I know what you mean. It's a ridiculous error.
But it wasn't your error.
It wasn't my error. Despite the fact Justin Leonard was throwing me under the bus big time on air live.
Yeah.
Saying it was an enormous error on the caddy's part.
We defended you, Johnny, and I remember, because I got Paul over to the Sky Car after for an interview, and yeah, he was a little sheepish. He was like, no, that was all me. Johnny's off the hook there.
The bump's good. He's growing. He's getting bigger, just over 6 months now. And I hear that you have a little bit of baby news to share.
Yeah,
as well.
My daughter, Shannon, she has been, she's been up to no good, I think. So she's having a bubba. So I'm going to be a granddad, which is unbelievable news. But when she first told me, she just started calling me Pops. And I thought, what are you calling me Pops for? And so there it is. I'm going to be a granddad. So there we go.
Hey.
She's March. So you are with your...
I'm Jan 17th is my due date.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that, Sarah. So when we go into the studio, you're going to have a little crib there and the bub's going to be right there. He's going to... just beside our chair, Nick, out of vision, have the little bubs there.
Are you offering for babysitting duties as well?
I love kids. I really love kids. I wouldn't say I was the best dad. I don't think any professional golfer is the best dad because you don't seem to be ever there. But I love children. I really do. They're great. Until they get to about 17.
Exactly. And then you sort of think, what have I done?
Yeah.
No, I'm off for you as well. That's brilliant news.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you.
Who would you say, who's your best mate on tour? And could you tell us an embarrassing, but I guess fairly clean story about that said person?
Oh, forget the clean.
Well, I'm going to tell this slightly differently than others, maybe. So my best friend on tour, I mean, they've always been, Mark Foster, going back year on, we got on tour pretty much at the same time, played amateur golf together. And Fozzie, you know, was on tour for 20 years, 25 years probably, of my 26 years out here. So he was my probably oldest, strongest golfing friend. But I do remember when I first got on tour. Actually, I got on tour 1 year before Fozzie. So I was on tour, didn't know too many people, and I was managed by Chubby Chandler at the time, and I was down in South Africa, and Chubby, as was his way, decided to hook me up with a couple of his other players, which was really nice, and he said, go down to the bar at 7 o'clock in the Holiday Inn on the beachfront in Durban. We were in Durban, South Africa, and he says, meet Richard Boxall and Derek Cooper. At 7 o'clock in the bar. So I wandered down. I'm just this 20-year-old kid, and there's Boxy, you know, on his third pint already, and Coops is on about his fifth. And I get befriended by those guys, and Carl Mason, and then of course Radar. You would have been around and about. And of all the people to get hooked up with as a 20-year-old, you know, freshman on the tour, rookie on the tour, it was the hard drinking, good fun boys of Boxall, Cooper, Riley, and Mason. So that was quite interesting, which actually, in fairness, culminated with me and the great man Wayne Riley playing in a Perrier four ball a few years ago.
Oh, don't go there. God, do I remember? You're saying about you couldn't hit it, mate. I couldn't. Oh, that was the end for me.
Yeah.
It was the end. And the worst thing was the tournament was in Bordeaux.
Yeah. Well, I seem to recall we'd taken it fairly steady the first couple of evenings, tournament-wise. But I think we ate once, and then we had a couple of nights off, and I went out with my mates, and you went out with your mates. But we were doing so badly. We both arrived on Sunday morning for round four with the worst hangovers ever. I was feeling pretty bad about myself. I was worried about letting Radar down on day four, and he was in worse shape than me. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Great memories, Howler. You've been a great champion, mate.
My bad, I'm going US Open rough. Just because it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
What?
The rough at Torrey Pines, I'm just like, oh.
You didn't like that?
Well, I like it as a spectacle, but the thought of being in it just gave me nightmares.
Yeah, I've got no bad at the moment. I think our game is in such a great place. The ladies' game's in a great place. You've got the quarters and you've got all these great players. I just wish more, what I've just said. I just wish we could get together a little more and grow our game together. We're getting there, but there's more to be done, and I'm sure a lot more will be done.
Yeah.
So the rough at Torrey, well, you don't have to worry about it, do you?
No, I don't. I actually played there a few years ago. I went over for a little holiday and played, and it wasn't US Open time. So
California, how nice.
La Jolla.
Oh,
we love La Jolla. La Jolla.
Yeah, it's absolutely magnificent.
It's probably both our favourite spots on tour.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It was gorgeous. It truly is absolutely magnificent.
And your personal account
is Wayne Radar Riley /. It's Wayne Radar Riley _.
Haven't you got a social media executive managing your account?
Trust me, I have two daughters that are doing all right.
Let's be nice about it. Don't slag it off.
How do I turn this off?
I can get rid of you if you want, Wayne.
Yeah, do that. How do you turn it off?
Well, listen, it's been fun, hasn't it, season one?
Yeah, really cool.
It's been cool, hasn't it? It's been good to chat, to talk rubbish, to put the world to rights, and discuss some of the issues. So it's been a pleasure working with you, and we're looking forward to season two, aren't we? So we'll be back around the springtime, around the Masters, and we'll have hopefully some more Stokers and Radar Gold for you.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, we love it. We couldn't do it without you, and don't you ever forget, you play your bit.
And just to remind you, do give us a follow on social, Stokers Radar on Twitter, Stokers and Radar Pod on Insta. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And a massive thanks as well to Ping for their support over the last season. Been great to have them with us, and hopefully we'll continue the journey for season two. Stokers and Radar on Cut, brought to you by Ping.
Uru!
This has been a Monkey Pants Productions podcast.